The theme of this seminar, as we all know, is taken from the article Methods of Training of our great master Sri Ramchandra Ji Maharaj of Shahjahanpur. That is, article is Method of Training. This article was addressed to the preceptors or prefects of Sri Ramchandra Mission in the year 1970 in a conference of preceptors or prefects at Tirupati. This talk forms part of the audio CD of our master, which has 6 talks and a song sung by him, released by ISRC. I may be permitted to use the term trainers instead of using the preceptors and prefects every time hereafter in this paper. Of course, that was my intention. I did not follow it in every sense of the term. I used the words preceptors, prefects, trainers. I just wonder, in this context, how many of you are in the habit of hearing this CD? Because there are 3 things in sadhana. One is the shravana, the second thing is the manana, and then the vidyasana. Shravana has to be done. We require the messages of the master to sink into our head, every line of it, every word of it, every thought that he has given as we contemplate the Lord. It is not as though we read once and then forget it. I have been telling you several times, I tell it again, 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 till I feel, yes, this has been struck. Yeah, the communication has been put across. It may be possible for you to hear all these things, it may not be possible to hear all these things. Only to hear one paragraph, still do that. Here. There are other things that we have asked us, please kindly also read the diaries, sayings, contemplate over that, make your notes on that. These are the appeals that I continue to make. I make it because they are the standard methods of sadhana. Sravana, manana, nidityasana are the standard methods. Nobody can change this. Whether it is physics, whether it is mathematics, whether it is spirituality, it is the same procedure. There is no change in the procedure. Why it should be given less importance here, I leave it to your good wisdom to decide. And unless we have that, we will not be in a position to tell other abhyasas. That also I have to tell you. All of us are aware of the tendency to think that everything in this system of sadhana is done by the master and trainer as well as the aspirant. Has precious little to do. This tendency of thinking was present even by 1969, and many trainers tried to disown their responsibility in the spiritual training that is being imparted in this system. It is an answer to that, Babaji said, molding yeast receptors business. The answer is to this attitude. It was the usual practice by then to say that the aspirant has nothing to do except to take introductory sittings and attend the satsangs, meditation sittings in groups, and annual or biannual quarterly gatherings organized by the institution. The individual sittings were optional. No effort was made to evaluate the progress made by the aspirant, and it was being said that everything is left to the master, and a very specious argument was given that to try to know one's condition or stage of progress indirectly means that one has no faith in the master. The very atrocious argument that was presented on that day. And today also many people do that. They are told, they will tell me today, they will tell me tomorrow. Because that is with the easiest approach that a man can take. So you can be a guru and be not accountable. Any other guru is that. You can also be that. That's about it. This is the approach that is to be resisted by us. Thus a situation arose in the implementation of the system which promised through its books towards infinity, reality at dawn and efficacy of Raja Yoga, a practical and verifiable system of sadhana where no responsibility for guidance and no assistance in evaluation was forthcoming. It was not my intention to say anything against any other institution. My point is only the topic. How much of the serious subject has been sidetracked and then something else was taken. Prachara was taken as more important than the guhyas. Prachara, publicity, only it has taken over and this one was totally suppressed. Master was always proud of his system and was confident that he trained many to become masters. In his Catholic approach, he used the term master for the preceptors also in many of his writings. But these were conveniently made to be understood as referring to the great master alone, and the trainers who slowly abdicated the responsibility for training and accountability to progress of the aspirants. These are the two aspects which I want you to kindly understand. ISRC has promised it in 1991. He said that we are accountable and we are responsible. Only when you accept this, you can say our system is something different than others. And when you don't accept this, for whatever reason it is, we can definitely say we are letting down the master and his system. Why such a thing has happened is not my point. How we can come out of it is my point. The article, Method of Training, has to be read, therefore, keeping in view the main theme of the master, namely clarifying the points in training and the role of the aspirant, the trainer and the master. All these three are very, very seriously discussed in that article. It's a highly loaded article. Fortunately, we have got the voice of the master for that year also. Of course, it is not all that clear as it should be, for various reasons again. Thanks to our brothers in California, they have been able to make some sense. They were able to remove quite a lot of unnecessary noises in that. And it is, if you take the article in hand, then if you put the audio, you will be in a position to easily grab. Why I am saying it is, you will there see his stress on certain words and certain phrases. You can easily understand when you hear him, which you will not be in a position to understand when you read only the article. There's a fortune that is still with us. If we ponder over the word training, it becomes clear that there can be no training without molding. But it is also true that master used to talk about transformation. While we use the word molding usually with reference to material objects, we use the term transformation in the case of living beings. However, molding or transformation implies, first of all, change from the existing position or status. Therefore, it is incumbent on the part of aspirants that they should be prepared to accept change in their ways of living and behaving, as also bring in changes in their attitudes and priorities. It has been our experience that while almost all aspirants want to get realized, very few of them ever think of being prepared to change. This is a point which I would like all to seriously ponder over, because there are many attitudes we have got, many opinions we have got. We want to have all of them and then realize, which is not possible. You have to change. You must know what is right to think. There is no point in saying some ancestor has thought so, or some friend has told me so. It does not work. Is it the right thing? That is the question. That is the evaluation. One has to do that. This refusal to change and sticking to the familiar ways of living has been the main cause of lack of desired level of progress achieved by them, in spite of many sessions of offering pranayama. Before we go into the practical aspects of imparting training, there is need for us to be clear about the system itself. Is our system based on a type of evolutionary philosophy, or is it devolutionary? Further, it is also necessary to note that our master asserted that we are returning to our homeland. In this context, it is also necessary that we should be clear about the concepts of destination and homeland. Master, in his message dated May 1970, stated, "If we pause a little and consider the problem, the destination, we will surely come to the conclusion that you are sailing towards your own home, wherefrom you have been snatched away by the irony of fate." Homeland and destination clearly mean that the goal is something that we are aware of already. But our master has stated that spiritual journey is towards infinity. By definition, infinity has no end point and is ever moving forward. Again, the concept of nothingness as the goal presents as a picture where we find it difficult to integrate the same with the concept of molding. Finally, ponder over these things. these are all the issues that have been raised on many occasions. But these are inherent problems which we must have a special approach at. This is our approach. And I have presented my approach here. It is for you to discuss, come to some consensus on this. Human transformation is the goal of life, and our similar expressions have been made by the Master and Dr. KCV. The Dr. KCV has a background, bears a background of Aurobindonian thinking is unquestioned. Many times he said that Sri Aurobindo promised, namely the descent, what Aurobindo promised, namely the descent of supramental consciousness into the human life, is what Sri Ramachandraji delivers. And the influx effected, in fact, is from a much higher level. Thinkers who also subscribe to the theory of evolution, it may be noted that evolution is not a fact that has been observed, but it is only a theory advanced by Darwin and others, naturally hold the theory of change or flux. To put it in brief, the contention is life is not about doing, it is not even about being. Life is essentially becoming. This is the opinion of evolutionary people, including Aurobindo. It cannot exist without eternal becoming. Fundamentally, the whole story of evolution is a story of experimentation and change. However, the philosophy of Raja Yoga is closely linked to the Sankhyan philosophy. Swami Vivekananda, while answering questions on Darwin's theory of evolution, said that the last word in evolution has been stated in the Sankhyan system. He agrees that with the Sankhyan system, that there is no evolution without an involution. The same teaching was held by Sri Krishna in the Pancharatra Agama, stating that the souls are in pravritti or nivritti paths. We were once pure and simple consciousness patterns expressing the divine, and we lost our balance and are now trying to restore the same and the principle that should be, that are the principles that should be fully grasped by us. Swami Vivekananda stated, according to the philosophers of our country, every being is a perfect soul. Please notice every being, every form of sentient being. And the diversity of evolution and manifestation of nature is simply due to the differences in the degree of manifestation of the soul. The moment the obstacle to the evolution and manifestation of nature are completely removed, the soul manifests itself perfectly. Whatever may happen to the lower strata of nature's evolution, in the higher strata at any rate, it is not true that it is only by constantly struggling against obstacles that one has to go beyond them. Rather, it is observed that there the obstacles give way and a greater manifestation of the soul takes place through education and culture, through concentration and meditation, and above all through sacrifice. The attempt to remove evil from the world by killing 1,000 evildoers only adds to the evil in the world. But if the people can be made to desist from evildoing by means of spiritual instructions, there is no more evil in the world. He adds further that in the animal kingdom, we really see such laws as struggle for existence, survival of the fittest, etc., evident at work. Therefore, Darwin's theory seems to be true to a certain extent. But in the human kingdom, where there is a manifestation of rationality, we find just the reverse of those laws. The highest evolution of man is effected through sacrifice alone. A man is great among his fellows in proportion as he can sacrifice for the sake of others, while in the lower strata of the animal kingdom, the animal is the strongest, which can kill the greatest number of animals. Hence, the struggle theory is not equally applicable to both the kingdoms. Man's struggle is in the mental sphere. A man is greater in proportion as he can control his mind. When the mind and mind's activities are perfectly at rest, the Atman manifests itself. The struggle which we observe in the animal kingdom for the preservation of the gross body has its use in the human plane of existence for gaining mastery over the mind or for attaining the state of balance. So you can see the approach of the spiritual persons are entirely different from that of the evolutionary theories. Vivekananda is very firm on the same theory is what Babaji holds. We came from the homeland, going back to the homeland. The same thing is what our traditional Hindu system from the beginning has been saying. This is the truth and this alone is the truth. If you are not very sure about this, you are likely to face unnecessary argument, discussion with people. You can avoid it. You can simply say that your theory, that whatever theory you are talking, is only a theory. Show me one evolute, new evolute, and then we shall talk. Let there be one evolute show, because observation is the principle of science. Conjecture is the field of philosophy. So Darwin's theory is more philosophy than science. He has observed certain things and he has come to certain conclusions. Those observations are of the past. There is no reason whatsoever that we should agree. And the great master Vivekananda is now arguing for the Sankhya system, which we have called out. This is the stance. This is what I personally feel is the stance that we should take. We do want transformation from our animal nature. We do want, there's no doubt about it. But we don't want to call this evolution. We are getting back to our source. We are regaining. Apnoti Swarajyam. That's what it is. Swarajyam. That's my original name. Right. Anyway, Swami Vivekananda also stated that sage Patanjali has not advocated the theory of evolution and held that all were once involved in the origin and they are also returning to the source. The same is what Babaji repeats. He adds further, Patanjali holds that the transformation in one species into another is affected by the infilling of nature. This word is very, very striking to me, because this infilling of nature is what we do in pranavati. The original prana is being infilled again. I request you all to ponder over this infilling and the pranabhuti that is experienced by us, and also think about the possibility of transformation of ourselves through such infillings. That's what we are trying, through such infillings only. Master stated, life is the awakening of the state of being. When we brought in our share of the awakening state, every function of the material existence commenced. In the beginning, it was more in relation to divinity from which life started. With the progress of life, actions continued having their effect according to their nature. He says that because actions are very strong, since they are connected with life, their misuse produced wrong effects and the whole frame of the body became a human factory with every faculty forming its own center and started pouring out what has been collected thus far. This is all related to samskaras. When the span of life of a particular being ended, a form afresh was assumed with the accumulated grossness, and this process continued for several lives. Thus, he says, we have formed poles according to our actions and they became very strong. Finally, all this led to the condition where we remain embraced by the commands we receive from different centers, each for the faculties. This embarrassed is what was originally printed. It was wrong. It's embraced. One point here I would like to stress here is that Master is very clear here that there was a past life for us and there will be a future life for you. A philosophy which does not seem to be accepted by almost all of us. To what extent it has not been accepted, I don't know. But there is a percentage of that which is not accepted. It is lack of that particular awareness of a series of lives, and that we have something past and we may have something future. It is that awareness alone which will make you think of not having one more. In the absence of it, you will not do anything that will prevent that. You will simply waste your time. Move on. We take everything easy. Casual. Including sadhana becomes casual. Because there's nothing lost. All that is lost is only that this meditation is lost. If you think that there is a life which will be there after me, if I don't clear off my samskaras now, you will not avoid yourself. you will not avoid your cleaning sessions, you will not avoid your night prayers, you will not stop with constant thinking. All those things will come only when you have got that motivation. That motivation is what has been removed. I have been telling this very, very frequently. Has been removed by the influence of the Westerners on us, who do not believe in a rebirth. And we have accepted their beliefs and then started thinking in terms of the tradition with that particular proposition of the West. There is a dichotomy straight away in your thinking, and therefore all confusion in your mind. No person will be less serious about sadhana if he comes to know that there is a life, there was a life, and there will be a life. And there will be a life is what we can stop. That's what is called liberation. Liberated from the bonds. So the question is a very serious issue. But that serious import is not there. That is not taken all that seriously. Apart from the fearing that master will take care of it. That is another unfortunate thing about which you have already talked. No such thing is possible. It's a question of our earning our things. And he definitely assists us in that. Nobody grants liberation to us. We fought for our freedom in this country. We lost so many lives. We know that what, how we get freedom. Freedom is just not given. Freedom is earned. Because the bondages you have chosen, nobody has put those bondages on you. And therefore nobody will take the responsibility of removing it from you. We can tell you this is the way you can wriggle also, yourself out. This is the way in which I can assist. But who will remove? You have to get rid of it. So sadhana becomes a liability or a casualty from my point of view, because of lack of understanding of this subject. And it is so difficult to see. Just as if I ask somebody to prove evolutionary theory, he will be having no answer. Similarly, if you ask somebody to prove this theory of rebirth, he will also have no answer. Somehow due to the company of pious persons, that's what Babaji writes, or due to good environment, we got an opportunity to think of our original condition. Master says, if we searched for a proper man to guide us in this pursuit, and that thought touched the core of our being, it would produce a kind of trembling, and that would lead us to the proper man who is really spiritual. If there is any shortfall in this, we unfortunately land ourselves into the hands of gross persons, and we do not attain the stage of entering the homeland. Master says, it is the responsibility of that person who promises to guide in the path to destroy the poles we have formed due to unbalanced thinking. Thus, if everything is regulated, the original state of our being comes to view, and we begin to realize the awakeness of divinity which first fell to our share. I am now asking you people to kindly see the origin of the rings of splendor here, so that you understand how we came. I leave it to you, because some of you can definitely throw some light on this. Thus we see clearly the master is referring only to the process of return to the homeland, and we are not talking of evolution proper as understood by scientists, philosophers and psychologists. But the process of return to the homeland is the process of gradually annihilating the ego and becoming selfless. Such a selfless person who has reached a state of void or nothingness naturally is in tune with the power of manifestation, and his participation in the process is natural and divine. The gradual process of becoming that has led to the theory of evolutionism is sought to be explained in this system as a gradual peeling off of the samskaras, impressions collected by the individual expressions of life energy. In tune with the Hindu conception regarding rebirth, Master implicitly holds that the human individual has gone through many lives before he came to be expressed as human in the path of return to the homeland. But the beauty of the system is that while returning to the original center, we arrive at a state of pure divinity, and we are exhorted to use the condition to help others find their return path to the homeland. The commandment 9 has this implication, is a point that we had on many occasions to discuss. Master, in his message in May 19, stated that the soul is longing to feel its characteristic which has gone out of sight, and this insignificant being is seeking fellow pilgrims to march on the path of freedom. The point of great importance here is, Master is not restricting anyone to try this system. Master is not restricting anyone to try the system. According to Hindu tradition, human beings can be classified according to the goals they entertain as Kamarthi, Artharthi, Dharmarthi and Mokshaarthi. We do not accept this. We accept all people to be eligible for this type. That there are several types of people among human beings is unquestionable. Are all of them fit for spiritual training? Further, we know that we cannot classify a person as purely Mokshaarthi or Kamarthi. The same person may at different times have different goals, as also the person may have at the same time more than one of these goals. Spiritual training under the system advocated by our Master can be given to all. However, Master classified aspirants into 5 types. 1. Selfish. 2. Fuzzly. 3. Asli. 4. Devotee. And 5. Murad. The selfish persons among the seekers are interested in material benefits and are those who join the satsang to achieve their selfish ends. They resort to flattery as a means to satisfy the Guru or God and leave the Master anyway, either because they may be regular to the satsang or annual congregations, etc. But are those who do not practice the system as advocated by the Master. The early type of disciples are those with better samskaras and are willing to practice sincerely the system. Master says, some of them may graduate to the 4th level of disciples called the devotee. Some of these are such that they start from the beginning with the condition of a devotee and bear love and devotion to the Master. You know, love and devotion to another person means obedience to him in every sense of the term. So this is another concept which I would like people to understand. When you say you have devotion, kindly obey. Your devotion to a person without obeying him makes no sense at all. Persons of this type possess all the characteristics that is expected of an aspirant. From among the disciples, few graduate to the level of Murad, that is one who is the cynosure of the eyes of the Master. The Master never forgets them and he is the beloved of the Master. While discussing the issue of moulding, we should be clear as to whom we are referring to. You should naturally refer to the keen seeker rather than the casual visitor. The aspirant should be one who would yield naturally to the trainer, leaving aside all his personal notions about the path and the correctness or otherwise of the path he has been treading, if any. His aim should be to acquire naturalness, and for this the Master asserts surrender and cooperation are the twin sisters to help the aspirant in the path. Master stated that the abhyasi proceeds in 2 ways, and both are necessary, by the effort of transmission and by his own efforts. The light which the trainer infuses travels to the different centers, and a sort of vibration is felt by the abhyasi even at the higher position. The other thing which the preceptor does is to start yatra to a different regions and centers. You are all aware of the book Reality at Dawn. That's a chapter called Spiritual Training there, where you will find Master discussing in detail about these things. And kindly note that this is one of your primary duties. If you want to mold another person, without doing this you cannot mold. If you want me to read from that, the preliminary step in the right type of training is that the aspirant tendencies of mind be directed towards God. It is from L to U. For this, the learned teachers of religion, of course, he talks against others, which I don't want to write here. A capable teacher should see the word here. A capable teacher, not a master here. So this is one of the basic lacuna in thinking. A capable teacher should do this by his effort, exercising the power of transmission in order to create a permanent deep-rooted effect. In the same paragraph you see this. Now one more point he says is, if you follow this, you feel the Ajapa very early. And Ajapa, we have, many people have got their own notions about Ajapa, I don't know from where they got it. But Master is very clear here, inner vibrations in the heart soon begin to be felt by the aspirant. This is the beginning of the spiritual state known as Shabda. Every person who has come to us and has received a few sittings have always confirmed that there is a vibration that passes through them, and they are aware of the vibrations. And that is the Ajapa that is granted almost for asking or for not asking in the system. And we have proved this point through our article and pranam. More than 95% of the people feel this. No other system can claim. But Ajapa, if it means something else in your mind, naturally it is not fair. That's why I say, this system kindly evaluate with what Master has asked you to evaluate. These are the parameters you have got to take. If somebody says something else and he suggests, it is better for him to go through that system which he believes is better. So he knows for himself. We can only say what we do. So the Ajapa is not, because many of the trainers also ask me, why the Ajapa, you don't feel, it is something that everybody is feeling. And the trainer says that he has not started feeling, because he has some hard questions about the Ajapa. Ajapa and Anahata are something that every trainer knows. Throughout the body it vibrates, you know that. You have been feeling it, you know it reminds you of that. If you have got the moments of silence in your environment, so that's a luxury in modern times. And if you have got a moment of silence around you, at least at the midnight, and if you meditate at that time, you will then clearly hear the nada. It's left to you. I have never found it difficult. Yesterday I was asking another trainer also, do you feel the light? That is the nada. It is very much there. And he said yes, and we said yes. The question is, so long as we are satisfied with this, instead of that we expect to see a Purushottama there with 1,000 heads there and 2,000 feet there. I think you are not going to have that. That is not the system. The system does not talk like that. Anyway, the main point we have to be clear about is in this context is whether all those who ostensibly seek the assistance through transmission can be given the same, and also whether moulding of the seeker, even with regard to goal clarity, determination to transform, is also the task of the trainer. This is one of the worst problems I have been facing for a long time, for 30 to 40 years I have been facing. Everybody says to me, sir, kindly see to it that I sit in meditation. I mean, you sit in meditation. You make a determination. We say, no sir, give me the strength to determine myself. You pray for that. This type of requests are a bit odd, and I could never understand this. But you think, because the influx is from the base, perhaps it takes care of that also. I am not going to say no to you. But it is not all that simple. So much of labor are we prepared to put in. Some people try to flatter me by saying, sir, exactly at 2:30 in the morning we got up, sir, because of you. I said, no, because of yourself you only got, not because of you. This type of talk, you know, it doesn't help anybody. You better own your responsibility to do your sadhana. You will definitely get the help from Master, who is always available. All of us are here to help each other. This will go on. A coordinated effort is possible. All the system is talking about is a coordinated effort. There is one person who wants to know, can you help? If you are capable of helping, help. If you ask me, the whole system of Babaji is only very simple, two lines set up. Unquestionably, the original prana or pranasa pranaha is that which is transmitted. While the force is the same, the level from which the pranahuti is offered can vary is a point that was clearly elaborated in the first issue of the journal Impedance. This, it is easy to observe, depends on the level of approach of the trainer himself. Therefore, it becomes necessary that the trainer always abides by the master, in him and for him. This is a responsibility that clearly vests with the individual trainers, and they have to put in every effort in this direction. Our master has explicitly stated that 1, the various practices to be followed by the aspirant, 2, the role of the trainer and the role of the master. The topic of the seminar is molding in the easy preceptor's business. Therefore, we shall confine ourselves to the role of the trainer without forgetting that he is essentially an aspirant. The trainer assists the aspirant in reaching the goal through various methods given by the master in order to successfully accomplish the task. He uses pranahuti. Pranahuti is the tool used by the trainer to foment with his own internal divine power the various conditions in the aspirant and thus give him a satisfaction that he is in the hands of a competent person. Kindly note, this is your responsibility. You can't show off the responsibility. What was thought in 1960s, let us not repeat it in 2000. It is not all that impossible. If you make a determination to live up to that level, you live up to that level. The intellectual condition of the trainer is such that the persons sitting near him automatically feel a certain amount of calmness or peace. This also encourages the aspirant to pursue the path sincerely. If you maintain your purity, the other man cannot help but feel impure. If you are impure, you be a trainer or you be whatever you want, you will not feel anything. So maintaining our pure status is our responsibility. What that purity would mean is left to you. Each one of you can know what are your impurities, what are your assets and what are your minus points. You know, you try to reduce your minus points. Overnight you don't do anything. It's a continuous effort. Sadhana is a continuous effort. The self of the aspirant has to be turned to divinity. This has to be done so that harmony is developed by him and his self is reduced. The purpose of doing this is reduction of self. Kindly know this. Why are we diverting the flow to the upper portion? So that his ego gets reduced. Ego being of the physical and the vital planes. The trainer has the knowledge of the center, that's what master says, and the energy they contain, and he exercises his will to direct the divine power coming to him towards the aspirant. This is one of the exercises that we have got to do again and again to know the nature of the center. The center, master has given some, we have added some more. We tried our best to give as much information as possible. In this context, we will be talking about the proforma later also. Various methods have been given to the trainers so that they may introduce divinity into the abhyasi who is dog. Who are dormant. The trainer has also to do the yatra in the case of aspirants who are not able to progress on their own even in initial stages. This is sought to be done through fomentation of the condition into the aspirant's system. We had observed earlier, no. By these efforts, what is the molding that is affected? Master states, so long as there was the balanced state, we had no form of our own. We have simply to unfold ourselves and restore our own balance, which we had lost. So it is a state of balance that we are talking about. We had observed earlier that there are different types of people. We also know that there are 5 sheets covering human beings. These sheets are well classified as the 5 courses in our tradition. Actually, I don't know how many of you are aware of the fact that there are 8 sheets, not 5. And the Anandavalli of the Taittiri Upanishad is very clear on this subject. He says that 3 more are there. They are related to the what we call Shravana, and one is connected with the Naya, that is the seeing, and the third one is the mentation, mind. These are the 3, and they are the Mayas. There is also an article, this Anna Maya is what we generally use the word. One scholar went to the extent of saying that Anna Maya. And then he made all of them mean the Maya. That is the coverings that disable you to see the what is there inside. There are 8 sheets, he says, and this is what happened. The Bhandarkar Institute published long back this article. It's a good article. It's a good way of looking at it also. But there's nothing wrong about the Anamaya Kosha, except that it does not enable you to see your real self. We go on confusing ourselves with the external body. It's a well-written article. It's information. Not necessary for us to know all the philosophy. But Maya has been taken as Maya also by somebody. There was no effort made to evaluate, classify human beings according to the causes. The simple point is that all the causes are there in the human being and therefore no such rigid classification is possible. However, we know some are governed more by some causes more than the others. In any society, there are bound to be individuals at different levels of growth and maturity, not only intellectually, but also morally and spiritually. Master in his own way said that the end of philosophy is religion and the end of religion is spirituality. We find very interesting researches done by psychologists of the present day who are trying to restore soul to the science of soul, psychology, psyche. Logi means science, which it almost lost a century ago. The recent works of Wilbur and others on transpersonal psychology is an attempt made to make these bodies with the Annamaya Kosha, Pranamaya Kosha, etc. thing, as if they are stages in the development of ego. They want us to believe that there is a stages of ego development starting from the Annamaya Kosha, goes up to the Anandamaya Kosha. That is the whole theory of Wilbur. It is agreed in the circles of transpersonal psychology as well as integral psychology, that is of Aurobindo, that there are streams of consciousness. They have been classified as mainly consisting of certain basic characteristics identified as typical of each stream. That all existence has been understood as a stream of consciousness, we all know, is the basic tenet of the great sage Nagarjuna. His philosophy of Alaya Vijnana is something that swept the scholars of his day, and most of the present day philosophers of consciousness use the terms and terminology which went to the west via the eastern China and Japan. Broadly, the streams are classified as 7 or 8 categories. But clearly, some of them are contrived and are patterns into which an effort is made to somehow accommodate the entire human population. However, they have done service in pointing out certain inherent contradictions in the content of consciousness. They are relevant for us in as much as we are trying to balance the contradictory forces in our consciousness, pulling us at different directions through the wholesome influx of pranabhuti. Pranasya pranaha is the basic core of any type of consciousness and has therefore the inherent capacity to bridge the gulf between two or more streams of consciousness that are in collision path in us. This is one thing that I have been stressing most from 1976 onwards. There is, because of pranabhuti, there is some detensioning effect, as my father has put it, the detensioning effect here. The conflicts get resolved. And there is a way by which we are able to make some people normal, who seem to be on the borders of slipping out into insanity. Many conflicts are resolved internally. Not that we have found a solution for all the problems. This is a matter which I would like doctors to think about. The basic stream is the same. Your aberrations are in 5 different or 8 different planes of the same consciousness. If the basic thing is given, support is given, or the Bhagavad Anugraha is given, Bhagavad Anugraha should be capable of somehow or other bringing a balance between these. And then there must be certain amount of harmony that the individual must have. It will have a long range repercussions if we can prove this model. In my own way, I have got at least a few, maybe a dozen or more cases where we have been able to resolve this tendency of conflict in a man. We have been able to, not openly talking about it, because I have, as a counselor, I have found it is not possible for me to clear anybody's complication. However much you talk, he has got his own argument. But if you try to give the influx of pranahuti from the base, assuming that you go towards the base, it has to be. Not all may be in a position to be, but it should be possible for all of us, because all of us can be in the center. It is not one center, unfortunately, is another peculiar geographical concept. There can be only one central point. In consciousness, center seems to be capable of accommodating any number of points there. The center, per se, God will always be one. But then in and around that, which is as good as the center itself, there will be any number of persons. And their point of view would also be subspecies and gratis. Their point of view also would be the point of the center. A person nearer the center will be in a position to see all the 360 degrees. The person at the periphery will have only 1 degree point of view. This is well understood. So you must go to the center to have that central point of view. Center can be only one, obviously, and that is God. But near the center, as Babaji puts it, central region, you know, last ring he puts it. After the central region, he puts a big ring, and then there's a lot of souls are here. And that is the rightful place we everyone has got. We should aspire to be there. Then only our transmissions will be of that order, which will bring harmony, cohesion, understanding. All these things are possible only when we are there. And it's not a matter of anybody gifting it, you have to earn it. And then the master is there to help you all the time. But I have not come across one Abhyasi who tells me that he did not feel the transmission, or he sat at home or here. This morning I was talking to my son. He could be making interesting study. Because I was told that if you go to these yoga retreats, they attend for 7 days course, and afterwards they never turn up for meditation. All these people, several systems are there. They go, get introduced, and afterwards nobody goes there. It's forgotten once and for all. Whereas in this case, I have got people whom I know them for 30 years or 40 years. They have not left it. They may be grumbling, that's a separate subject, but they have not left it. Point is that they know the worth of the system. Something pulls them, as Babaji told me several times. I asked him, suppose a man comes and goes away, what is his fate? Now, where will he go? He will come one day. Where will he go? He will come. So this way, he will come one day, you know, this is a very good thought that he gave me. Now I find it's possible for us even to prove that, because I just wanted him to know how many of us are people who were introduced 40 years back or 50 years back. I see quite a few here. And why is it that we are here again and again? There's something that puts you here. So divinity is calling us all the time. And therefore, when it calls, we have got a rightful place near the center. When it calls, why should I be in the periphery? Why should I be in the boundary? I will be in the wicket itself. Anyway, that's one way of looking at it. పెద్ద చేశావు ఇప్పుడు పర్వాలేదు చదివిస్తున్నాను కదా దిస్ ఈస్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ది క్లెయిమ్స్ దట్ డాక్టర్ కేసీ మేడ్ సెవరల్ టైమ్స్ హీ డెల్ట్ విత్ మెనీ పీపుల్ హూమ్ హీ వాజ్ ఏబుల్ టు బ్రింగ్ ఇన్ సమ్ హార్మనీ ఇన్ దెమ్ అండ్ ఆల్ దట్ వీ హావ్ ఇన్ అవర్ ఓన్ వే వీ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ ది కెప ది వాట్ యూ కాల్ ఇట్ ది వే ఆఫ్ రికార్డింగ్ సమ్ మైనర్ డీటెయిల్స్ టు సే కేస్ స్టడీ ప్రెజెంటేషన్ బట్ వీ హావ్ ఎనార్మస్ నెంబర్ ఆఫ్ పీపుల్ Each one of us will be in a position to tell how many people were able to make them come to the state of balance. It is however necessary to note that these streams of consciousness, which perhaps can better be compared, this is my way of looking at it, with the strands in a rope, never exist totally independent of the other. It should make an interesting study of research to find the origins of these strings or strands in the very makeup of the content of consciousness, which is itself a conglomerate of the physical, vital, lower mental, superior mental, and the planes of equanimity. When we tend to classify human into types, we invariably get into the problems, particularly when we demand total separation of the types from each other. Even very great reformers and sages have tended to think in terms of pure sattva, suddha sattva, and having failed to find it in the universe, have said that is the matter of Sri Vaikuntha. Is that the bodies of eternal beings is composed of the same type of matter. However, for the one who knows and feels in the real sense, impurity is as much a myth as purity. This is a matter of spiritual state, a spiritual state where we don't feel that something is impure. That's a myth, and this is also a myth. Thus, if we keep in view that the wholesome attitude, it will be possible to find the following strains or strands or streams of consciousness in society in general and the individuals in particular. That being present in the individual consciousness is a matter of concern for us. So that is what is to be molded, what is to be transformed. Magical. Persons of whose thinking patterns accommodate this stream of consciousness think partially in animistic terms, magical spirits, believe in good and bad spirits which either bless or curse, and in turn decide the events that occur. There is a belief in the spirit of ancestors and an effort to work out lineage with persons who are gone forever, and a strong bond in the clan or tribe. In many persons we find this type of consciousness coexisting with more advanced features of consciousness, many times including rationality. In the case of persons who share this type of consciousness, the self is not fully developed and is dependent on magical and mystical means. If one set of rites and rituals or magical charms fail, another is sought out immediately, else their self collapses under the weight of lack of confidence in self. These magicals are different for different cultures and societies. This is one level. If you know, in us also, in each one of us, there is a remnant of this. Our self to that extent is suffering there. And if we want to have a person moksha, first liberate him from this. This also is a part of our work. There is no need for any discussion on this subject. It is to be done by the influx only, as we have just now observed. That should be capable of bringing in the harmony. But the problem is this. All that I can say, be tolerant. If a person is having, be tolerant. Work. Help him come out of it. There is no point in finding fault with such people. Because similar things we also have. They may not be the identical things, but similar things are there. Because after all, there are a lot of tradition that is there with us. Power gods, persons whose thinking patterns accommodate this stream, think in terms of settling the accounts and through power, muzzle or otherwise, control and dictate others. Their main motivating principle is power and glory. Terrorists and war maniacs belong to this category. This is a streak of the animal instinct that somehow persists in the human, perhaps civilizations built and destroyed based on the muscle power and animal characteristics contribute to our thinking in this pattern. The self-development in these cases is dependent on perceived capacity to inflict pain on others and one's own muscle or money power. The self is bonded by this, and any failing to the body or its prowess can inflict a stunning blow to the self. A Hatagothi fellow, if he is defeated, nothing more is required for him. A Bhima defeated, nothing more is required for him. He will die. When he gets defeated in a duel, it means he is death only. That's how Jarasandha and others went. When they lost the game, they died, simply. This is the animal instinct which we talked about, Vivekananda talked about the lower order thinking. The conformist, persons who partake in this stream are very decided as to what is rigid, what is right and what is wrong, and they know it fully. Violating the code of conduct or rules is abhorred and punished, if possible. If not, the culprit is severed of his connections with the family or village or any other group to which he belongs. Any lapse in the following of the norms leads to a sense of guilt, and severe punishments are given and accepted. These persons who follow the norms, rules, regulations and restrictions that are imposed by an avowed authority, that is usually a religious figure or book or tradition, generally pass off as saintly persons in society, which appreciates their holding the rigid hierarchies. The consciousness here can be totally against freedom of spirit of others, and conformism is the only principle recognized. This pattern of consciousness is common to find, and in fact any society at any given point of time is ruled only by the influence of these persons. The self here is under severe bondage, and it enjoys the credits that are showered on it by a society, and many times he is not even aware of its bondage. This is one of the toughest bonds that require to be broken on the path of freedom. The explorers, persons who partake in this stream, are not convinced about the existing strict code of morals and rules governing life. They question everything of religion, every rite and routine. They claim to be having a scientific temper and want equality, fraternity and liberty to be the same for all the human population, irrespective of the race, religion, gender or any other such division. They do not accept any hierarchy in the relationship of the ruled and the ruler, between man and woman. Interestingly, they raise a question, why should God be male? They have no moral compunction to utilize the resources available, even if it were to be for exploitation through intelligent maneuvers. They have no difficulty to use the baser instincts in the advertisement and propaganda of their products and give all types of specious logic to defend themselves. These persons have sought to use the available knowledge gained by explorations in the nature of mind for their own personal gain. I'll call it corporate advantage and gain. This is particularly so in the food and cosmetic and fashion industries. They chose all attractive means to debase the human thinking and all the time say they are upholding the freedom of the individual to choose. This type of consciousness is unfortunately seen in almost all the human beings of the present day, and this is one of the toughest problems facing one who seeks to transform the content of consciousness of aspirants seeking to realize their true nature. The self in these cases is under delusion and is totally lacking direction in moral and spiritual play. Imagine the extent to which the program of awareness of AIDS goes, and unabashed marketing of condoms and other means to protect oneself, and not even a single person is there to call the buff and plead for a same sex order. Note also the importance given to spiritual discipline for the practice of celibacy in Grihastha Ashram. The sensitive seekers, persons who partake in this type of consciousness, are committed to communication as a means for developing fraternal bonds. They agree that human beings must be freed from greed, avarice, jealousy, and believe in developing humane relationships with a symbiotic approach to all problems. While the desire is there to attain harmony and understanding amongst all, they end up with seeking and trying all the time to find means through which they can succeed to communicate to others their point of view. They are heavily dependent on the rationality of human being and think that rationality can itself solve the problem, though it is always frustrated in its attempts, and the explorers and power gods have their way. The earlier two people have, in these cases, is having a taste of the expansiveness and is ready to come out of the shackles. The holistic superconscious men, these are the very few in the human population who through their relentless struggle in their inner selves seek to generate harmony and goodwill among all the human beings and enable them to develop true love amongst all sentient beings and devotion to the supreme consciousness that rules the universe. Apart from abiding by the truth and reality in all its aspects, these persons enjoy a tranquility of the most superior type, which bridges the gulf and the possible perceived differences and lives and moves in the sphere of harmony, understanding, compassion, cooperation, coexistence of all beings, love and direct non-interfered oneness, which helps them share and make the words of sacrifice meaningless inasmuch as it is only service to one's own very being. They experience the inner oneness of all and find there is no disharmony essentially in nature. Disharmony and dichotomy are the products of thinking patterns that do not seek the good of all but only of a few to the detriment of others' interests. For these persons, there is no individual self and therefore no individual interest. They cross the borders of egoism, and naturally their performance is always marked by a fragrance of natural perfection, unifying all other efforts, and exhibits a coordination that is better expressed as cohesion. The self in these cases can be taken as expanded, and the bonds of animal and human terms and regions are broken, and they are free, moving and having their being in the realm of pure consciousness. It is discipline to which we are supposed to move on. This is the plane in which we have to live as trainers if we want to mold others. Molding others through rationality, through conviction, through argument, all these things will never work. Leave alone the beastly approach of I'll beat you otherwise. The
That is the first attempt.
We are, every one of us have attempted this with our children. First, if you don't obey, I'll beat you. The animal is there. Then we try to argue with him. He will not accept. Try to go beyond. Try to find a supra-rational way of solving it. And we are capable of being that. We are the fortunate few who have got that advantage. We have the influx capacity. Babaji is very much in us, in the heart, guiding us every moment, trying to tell us this is the way you can solve your problem. Give the warmth, give the love that is there, unconditional. There is no question of our being separate from others. It is therefore obvious for us that we should tend to strengthen this last strand more and more. This last strand in the consciousness is what we are partaking more. Not that the remaining five are not there with us, they are there. It shall be our endeavor to see that the five gets reduced, not only in us, but in others also. And that is the real duty of a trainer as far as I understand. You live in this consciousness, try to see that all other strands in you are reduced, annihilatedly possible, controlled at least. Then see to it that other people also get the advantage of it. Give it unconditionally, selflessly, without any motive. Because the other person is no different from you. This awareness we have got during meditations, we know that we don't feel the self. Something happens to us, we are lost. That we are lost in a void of consciousness. It's a very funny experience we have got. Every one of us have got it. Remember that. As the Upanishads put it, Tato Smara, Kritam Smara. Remember that. Remember that offering of the divine in us. This is the offering of the divine. I do not know about the Purusha Medha originally, but this I know, this influx, I know. Pranahuti, the prana is being offered, ahuti is being offered. Divinity is killing itself to enter into us. It has sacrificed itself. The divinity has lost its status of being divine, far away from us, and then sacrificed its status to enter into our hearts. And we are the fortunate few to pass on this message. Live up to this expectation. Tough it is. We'll come to that aspect. It is therefore obvious for us that we should tend to strengthen this last strand more and more. It is in this context the prayer at 9 p.m. gains importance. It is now positively proved that the thinking of groups of people located in different parts of the world does influence others, and its influence is felt even in inanimate objects of experimentation. I gave a few days back Dr. Madhava the article. I have shown him also there is some proof, experimental proof on that. I am not a student of science, so I did not go into it. It must be there. This one task of molding of ourselves and thereby others appears to be of paramount importance. This at least can be done. Molding is our business, this must be done, at least. The words of wisdom of our master has been our guiding points for contemplation and meditation. It is relevant to recall a few of these statements in this context. Spiritual training starts with the inner cleaning or purification of chakras, which is the most essential factor in spiritual training. Pranahuti is the only effective process to introduce immediate change to regulate the inner tendencies of our mind so as to effect our gradual transformation. What Pranahuti does for the spiritual uplift of an abhyasi and removal of complexity in a short time, independent efforts cannot achieve even in a full decade. The light which the preceptor infuses travels into the different centers, and a sort of vibration is felt by the abhyasi even at the higher points. In our system, all the methods of doing are for the preceptors, and becoming is the job of the abhyasi. It is the power of pranahuti alone that can curtail this duration of travel from one spiritual stage to another and enable the course of thousands of years to be covered within the span of one life. Only a person capable of transmitting divine grace through the yogic process of pranahuti is fit to become a master. Transmission gives a new life to the sleeping condition of man and prepares for the highest approach result for human beings. A man is not fit for spiritual training unless and until he has developed the capacity of fomenting his disciples, the superior force, which is all and all. These are but a few of the pearls that are collected at random. How can the trainers do this duty? Is what we have endeavored to explain in our trainer's manual. But most important is the development of the special will. Will is a word that has almost become the weakest in our vocabularies, and every action of ours is thought to be explained by different models and theories of motivation. Our master has stressed the importance of the development of special will in this work. towards infinity. For developing this will, it is obvious that it is to be used to fall. Why am I saying this is special will? Many people have thought it is the exclusive prerogative of the master only. If you read that article towards infinity, in that book, in that article, he says, every one of you shall try for this. And each one of you will get such advantage as you deserve. Such merit. It is a very clear article. Read that. In towards infinity. It is not his will alone. Our will has to be perfect. Sankalpa balam you have got to have. Sankalpa balam. Sankalpa siddhi is possible only when in the word sankalpa balam. It was very strong. That means that is one of the clues he has given was never doubt. He said never doubt. Wonder. See clarifications. Never doubt. Never doubt your capacity. Never doubt your capacity your capacity to realize. Never lose your faith. Faith in three things he insisted. The first thing he pointed out was faith in oneself. Then faith in the system. Then he said faith in the master. To turn the table and then say no, faith in the master alone is the only faith, is what other people have said. But Babaji never said it because this is yoga, that is bhakti. That is Vedanta. You can talk whatever you like. Here it's a question of, if you don't have the confidence that you can run the race, you can never run the race. And what I have personally been able to classify as necessary for development of the special will is special will is not again one tool I have got. It can be used on different occasions. And in each occasion, this special will has to develop. What is called for playing a match today? I must become fit on that day. It is not enough if I say that I know how to play today, and then after 10 days I go for a match without preparation. What we call the nets is a must. In any game, the nets is a must. You play first, practice, you've got to practice it. You must be very clear about what you are going to do. And then, when you come to that stage, you then know it is for a good cause with no selfishness or self-interest. Are you sure? First make yourself sure that what you are willing is something that has nothing to do with your selfishness. Number two, it has got a noble intention. You are trying to help others. With a total faith in the sovereign principle of justice, that is, the Samavarti, God, will never do injustice. You should have total faith. And each time when you are trying to exercise your special will, this is a must. Because I am doing a good thing, God is behind me for this. He cannot fail me because He is just. What I am asking is just. And therefore God is always supportive. This is the faith that we should have in the Master. And for a balance that follows justice, justice invariably is followed by balance. Needless to say, faith in the Master is a must. Faith in the nobility of attempts is a must, along with faith in the deservancy of the effort on the part of the aspirant. Is that fellow deserving for this? Also you take into consideration. Coupled with compassion and love and an unfailing determination to succeed in the attempt, with a pious and unblemished character that alone accompanies any divine effort. Our character, our lapse on that day, if we are living in impurity on that day, surely you have no right to access special will. It will not come. Your sankalpa siddhi is not there. And generally, people who talk falsehood, they are also predict. I always tell them, how can there be any truth coming out of that mouth? Truth would have run away from such tongues long back. They don't. They may know enough of the astrological principles. They may be experts, but they will never be in a position to predict. The truth will not. Truth demands purity. So again and again I stress the importance of purity. Purity of body and mind. And my way of understanding purity of body and mind is when it is dedicated totally to Him, it is pure. And we know we can't do it all the time. Yesterday there was an upstart fellow who sent a mail to me and said the first sentence of the prayer, O Master, Thou art the real goal of life, will itself take care of everything, Then what is the need for the fourth sentence? To get his intellect. That's intellect. He forgets for a moment, this prayer is something that Babaji got during his super consciousness state. He forgets for a moment that Babaji has written enough on that. He forgets for a moment there is so much of commentary on the subject by very many people. And all of a sudden thinks he has got a new point to say that, oh master, he too is everything. Manasa vacha karmana. Has it happened? I won't claim it. Every day we know there is some lack somewhere, and that is the reason why we pray in the night. Let there be some humility left, always with us. This pious and unblemished character is what you are going to need. It is obvious for developing these characteristics, it is not enough to wish piously and hope that the Almighty will grant the capacity. It is the most essential tool without which any method in the manual or elsewhere will not work. While referring to the development of sensitivity, Master has stressed the importance of purity, and in the context of development of special will, it is all the more important. It would be prudent to conclude this paper with the prayer, O Master, the word, the ocean of bliss. We are seated in it, because it is a prayer for purity. The waves of the ocean are passing through us, removing all the dirt and disease.